Today's Bible reading comes from Psalm chapter 36. I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or do good. Even on their beds they plot evil. They commit themselves to a sinful course and do not reject what is wrong. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God! People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. May the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's good to be back in church after a short, a few weeks away in Vietnam and stopover in Malaysia and back to Sydney. I woke up on Wednesday, not sure where I was, whether I was in Malaysia or Vietnam or Australia. It was just such hot temperatures that we're having in Sydney. It felt like I was in Malaysia. So we're doing Psalms in January, and I thought of doing Psalm 36. Let's pray and look at Psalm 36 together. Father, we thank you that you have blessed us to live in a lovely part of the world. And thank you, Father, for all your daily graces to us that that we have much. We pray, Lord, as we look at your word now, we ask that you would speak to us. We pray, Father, that you would give us insight and understanding and empower us by your Spirit to not just listen to your words, but apply it to our hearts and to live it out. So we pray and we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Australia is such a beautiful country. When we went to Vietnam, there's a bit of a smog or a fog. It's such a cloudy place that I missed the blue sky. Like, Australia has such lovely blue sky. It's such a beautiful place. And I guess the world is a beautiful place, but the world is also a very dangerous place. And if you read the news, if you turn on the TV, there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of injustice, there are dictators taking matters into their own hands, there's crime, injustice, all around us. And that's the reality of the world that we live in. There is wickedness, and the Bible doesn't shy away from speaking about these things. If you open the pages of the Bible, it's full of sin, depravity, darkness, injustice, corruption, incest, adultery. It's a book that just hits us right between the eyes and describes what the world is like and what we are like. And as we look at Psalm 37, Psalm 37 also speaks about these things. And so it teaches us about the darkness, the wickedness, but it also encourages us and gives us hope to know how to live in the midst of this broken world, in the midst of the wickedness around us. So let's open your Bibles and keep it open as we go through the psalm together, and then you can see where I'm getting my points from. So the psalm can be broken up into three parts. The first part is what the wicked are like in verses 1 to 4, and the second part is what God is like, verses 5 and 6, and what are the implications of what the wicked are like and what God is like in the rest of the psalm from verses 7 to 12. Okay, so we'll be going through that together. So firstly, what the wicked are like. So it describes the wicked, and let me read that. So verse 1. I have a message from God concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So what are the wicked like? There is no fear of God before their eyes. So God is absent from their thoughts. They do not fear God. So we'll go quickly through the psalm, and then later we'll think about it a bit more. So the first thing is they don't fear God. God is absent from their thoughts. Secondly, verse 2, in their own eyes they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. So the wicked are described as people who are full of themselves. And because they are full of themselves, they are unaware of the wrongs that they are doing. Pride blinds them to their own faults. That's verse 2. And then verse 3 and 4. This wickedness, this evil is then described in terms of their words, their actions, and their thoughts in their plotting. So let's read verse 3. The words of their mouth are wicked and deceitful. So out of their mouth, that's how they speak. They fail to act wisely or do good. So their actions are not good. They are foolish. And verse 4. Even on their beds, they plot evil. They commit themselves to a sinful cause and do not reject what is wrong. So they scheme and they plot evil and wickedness. They when the flow of thoughts in their minds come, they don't reject evil, but they pursue the path of wickedness. They don't reject what is wrong. Okay, so from this description of the wicked, my point here is that this is the reality of the world that you and I both live in. There are wicked people who are plotting evil. King David is no stranger to plots against his life. Saul, who was the previous king, and even his own son Absalom, both of them tried to kill him for power and for position. Jesus, to whom all scripture points to, also faced plots against his life. The Pharisees hated him, and so they conspired with one of the 12, one of his inner circle, Judas Iscariot, to hand him over for money. So they fabricated false charges against Jesus. Judas betrayed him, and he was crucified. So this is the world that we live in. We live in a dangerous world, and there's a whole range of evil, from the extreme of terrorist plots to things that you might face with work colleagues backstabbing you, or maybe friends at school speaking behind your back, people tearing you down, or it could be all kinds of a range of evil. So that's verses 1 to 4. But there is good news. In the midst of this darkness, we have good news in verses 5 to 6. And the good news is found in what God is like. Look at verse 5 and 6. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. So the Psalms is poetry, and so when the psalmist compares God's love to us reaching to the heavens, his faithfulness to the skies, what he's saying is that God is very loving and faithful. And when he says God's righteousness is like the mountains and his justice like the deep ocean, he's saying again that God is very righteous and just. And so as we read these verses, it is reassuring for us to know God's character, that God is very loving and faithful, that God is very righteous and just. And so because of what God is like, because of God's character, that is why the world continues to run from year to year, from season to season. It is because of God's faithful love that he preserves creation, that he preserves creatures. Look at the end of verse 6. Lord, you, Lord, preserve both people and animals. We take it for granted. It actually does not have to be so. If God were to stop his power from sustaining this universe, the universe would collapse and come to an end. And we know from Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 that this universe is upheld by God's power, and it is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by whom this universe is preserved. So that's God's character. And God's character is the grounds of our hope, knowing what God is like. His faithfulness, his constant love, his justice, his righteousness. Let's move on to the third section, verses 7 to 12. In verses 7 to 12, we see some implications that flow out of God's character because of who God is. So in verse 7, there's protection. Verse 8, there is provision. Verse 9a, there's life. And verse 9b, there's understanding. So let's go through it slowly. Verse 7, protection. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. So the psalmist is really thankful for God's unfailing love, his steadfast love. It is because of God's love, his steadfast love, that people can find protection, that people can find refuge, people can take shelter in God. So that's verse 7, protection. Verse 8, it's provision. Let me read verse 8. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delight. So again, because of God's character, his love and his faithfulness, there is provision. We see our human beings being able to cultivate the natural resources, the abundance of creatures and industry and forests and agriculture and all these things that we just go to Coles and we buy something and our fridge is full. But all these things come because of God's provision. Thirdly, verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life. So here we see that because of God's character, there is life. God is the sustainer of life. God is the creator and the giver of life. And so we have life because of what God is like. And finally, verse 9b, in your light we see light. I put this as understanding. Often light is used for truth. It's in the dark we can't see, but when there's light, then we can see. So it's as we know God, as we have a relationship with God, then we begin to understand what we are like, and we begin to understand what the world is like and how the world operates. We see things clearly. Why? Because we have light. In your light, we see light. Verse 9b. So this morning is a reminder that of God's character, of God's love and faithfulness, of his righteousness and justice. And because of that, we see the implications of what that means to us. we have protection, we have provision, we have life, and we have understanding because of who and what God is like. So life in this world is dangerous. Why? Because there are wicked people, and wicked people who are plotting evil. But in light of God's character, the psalmist goes on to tell us what we can do. And he says two things. In verse 10, he prays in verse 10, continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. So the first thing that we can do when faced or confronted by the wickedness of the world is we can pray. We can pray and ask God, Lord, you are loving, you are faithful, continue your love and faithfulness towards us. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, we can pray to God and ask Him for protection. Verse 11, may the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. So the psalmist is finding protection, he's finding shelter, he's finding his refuge in God. He's asking God to protect him from proud, arrogant, wicked people. Finally, verse 12, he anticipates future judgment. Verse 12, see how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. So because of God's character, that God is just, he punishes sin, that God is righteous, he will punish the wicked. So the psalmist sees that ultimately those who plot evil are doomed. They lie fallen, not accidentally, but because God throws them down. That is their final destiny. So that's Psalm 36. So to summarize again, verses 1 to 4, what the wicked are like. Verses 5 to 6, what God is like. And then verses 7 to 12, what are the implications that flow from it. So what can we take away from this psalm today? I'm sure there's many things that might come to you, but I've put down four things. One is, don't be naive. Sometimes you may grow up within the shelter of your parents' home and are protected, but there are a lot of evil, there are a lot of wickedness, there's a lot of dangers out in the world. There are people who might pretend to be your friend, pretend to be a young person, and start a conversation with you over the internet and lure you to a place, and you think it is someone who is young, and they might take advantage of you because there are wicked people plotting wickedness. So don't be naive. Don't be foolish. Okay, these are real things in the world. Okay, secondly, on the other hand, don't be paralyzed by fear. You can go to the extreme and be paranoid about every single person that you meet with. Okay, so don't be paralyzed by fear. The psalmist prays and asks God for protection. This is a silly example, but bear with me. Okay, nowadays, pants that you wear sometimes are very fitting. So I've got this pants on and it's quite fitting. Anyway, so I put my wallet in my front pocket, and when I'm on the plane, the fear hits me that my wallet is going to fall off and I'm going to leave it on the plane and I'm going to lose my money and the wallet. And so I was flying back from Vietnam and a bit fearful about this happening, because you've taken a lot of dong, Vietnamese dong, and it's in thousands and thousands. You feel so rich, but actually it's just one Australian dollar is 17,000 Vietnamese dong. So you're like, wow, you're rich. Okay, but you can't buy much. Okay, so my wallet is full, and I'm afraid that it'll pop out because pants are tight, and it'll fall off because you're sleeping in the plane. Okay, anyway, so what do I do? So then I thought, okay, I'll put my wallet in my backpack and leave it under the seat in front of me. But it's such a long flight, and you've got long legs, and you want to have a comfortable flight, and you're flying with AirAsia. So anyway, so what did I do? I said, Lord, please protect my wallet, my finances, my passport, my belongings. and I put them in the overhead locker, as sensible people do. So sometimes fear can paralyze you, isn't it? You do silly things because you're afraid of losing things, afraid of this, that, and the other. Remember Psalm 36. What does the Psalm say? The Psalm says, pray to God for protection and find refuge in God. Put your trust in God. But that's a very simple kind of an example. It could be anything, like you've booked a flight, you're due to travel overseas, and then people are telling you, oh, you shouldn't go to that country, there's a terrorist plot, you don't know all these big cities, they're bombing and this and that and the other. And fear can paralyze you. So you want to not be silly and take no precautions. But you don't want to let fear paralyze you. There are things you need to do. Pray to God for protection and do the things that you need to do. God is our refuge, our very present help in our time of need. Okay, so that's the second thing. Don't be paralyzed by fear. Thirdly, don't give in to wickedness. In Romans 3:23, Paul concludes when he's writing to the Romans, in Romans 3:20, he concludes by saying this: all have sinned, everyone has sinned, everyone has fallen short of God's glory. And in the verses before that, he uses this phrase. He says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Maybe I'll just read that. If you turn to Romans 3, Romans 3, I'll just read from verse 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God, all have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat, and see the description of the different body parts. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. And then it says this verse, verse 16, 3:16, there is no fear of God before their eyes. It's like a concluding summary of what the wicked are like. But in Romans 3, it's not just saying that it's the non-Christians who are like that. It's saying that both the Jews and the Greeks, both the Jews and the Gentiles. So when we come to Psalm 36, and it says that there is no fear of God before their eyes, and we think the wicked people out there, yes, but the wickedness is also something that we struggle with daily in our own hearts. So sin is not something for non-Christians only. Sin is something for all human beings. And so we must not give in to the wickedness in our own hearts. If you look at verse 2, it says, there's Psalm 36 verse 2, and this I find quite scary. It says this: in their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. That means we can be so full of ourselves that we are blinded to our own faults. That's what sin does. Sin blinds us. And so if we are proud and arrogant, we will not be aware, self-aware of our own sinfulness. And that's what verse 2 is saying. So if God, by His grace, shows us our sin, we are to be quick to say sorry to God. So this week, in the past week, have you, by your words, or by your actions, or by your thinking, have you plotted evil? Have you schemed against people? Or perhaps thoughts have come into your mind, thoughts of revenge, to get even with someone. You need to stop and address those thoughts. Don't let it go further and further. Don't let the thought become an action. Because that's the nature of sin. We need to be killing sin. We need to not give room to Satan. Don't give in to wickedness. So don't take it further. So don't give in to wickedness. That's the third point. And my final point. Treasure God's unfailing love. Verse 7. The psalmist says, how priceless is your unfailing love, O God. How priceless. The psalmist treasured God's love. He said, wow, how valuable it is that God loves us with this constant, unending, steadfast love, an unfailing love, that God would love me. The psalmist understands God's love because of God's care of creation. The psalmist understands God's love because of God's protection. But we who sit this side after the cross, we have even greater insight into God's love. The songs that we sang about that God would come to heal the great divide of sin that separated us from God. That God would place all our sin on Jesus. That Jesus would take our punishment that belonged to us so that we can have forgiveness and be reconciled to us. That God would demonstrate His love. That while we are people prone to wickedness, prone to inclinations of sin, God would love us while we were sinners, that Christ would die for us. So that is precious, isn't it? It's priceless. I read Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. If you, Lord, if you kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? If God kept a record of all our sins, none of us will be able to stand before Him. Verse 4, it says, but with you there is forgiveness so that we can with reverence serve you. Isn't that good news? That God does not hold our sins against us because Jesus has paid for all our sins. Jesus has paid for all our sins. And so that is precious. So if today the good news of Jesus has become ordinary, let's ask God to remind us of His unfailing love, of the breadth and length, the height and depth of His love for us, so we too can say with the psalmist, Lord, it is really good, a person like me with a proneness to wickedness, that you would love me so much that you would send your Son to die for me. Thank you for that. Let's close in prayer. We'll just spend 2 minutes and you can pray to God. And then after that I can pray to close. Thank you. Okay. Before I pray, I just thought of something else. I watched a documentary on. So this girl had a boyfriend, and she had passed her password to Facebook to her boyfriend, and later they had broken up. So then he had access to all this information and things that she used, like he used against her, and some of the photos that were on social media were a bit indecent, exposed in how the dressing and things like that, and quite private. And yeah, she was very traumatized. Her father got involved to call the police to investigate his behavior. Initially, they were not sure who the person was, and then they had to track that it was him. She didn't give the password. He spied her logging in, and so she didn't know that he was the person. So I'm just, sometimes we might be naive, young age, and think like we want a lot of friendships. We want to, not offend people and give them access to information about ourselves. You have to be very careful. There are wicked people out there. And so you want to protect yourselves in how you handle your sensitive information and how you use social media. Okay, so Psalm 36 is talking about that as well. Okay, how about we pray together? Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to grow up in wisdom and maturity. Help us not to be naive about the wickedness and the wickedness of the human heart, and wicked people who are out to harm others. We pray to you, Lord, we look to you, Lord, as our protector. We ask, Lord, that fear will not paralyze us, but Lord, that we would trust in you and do the things that we need to do. Lord, we also pray, we pray this week for protection from the schemes of evil people. We also are aware, Lord, of the rebellion in our own hearts. We ask, Lord, that you would search our hearts, let your light shine and dispel the darkness within our own lives. Father, if we have done anything this week in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions that displease you, please make us aware, Lord, that we can keep a clear conscience before you. Father, we want to serve you in reverence and awe of your holy name. We thank you also, Lord, for the forgiveness that you have given us, the priceless forgiveness through the death of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for his blood that has washed our sins. Thank you, Father, that as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our sins from us. We pray in Jesus' priceless name. Amen.